Hello there. Welcome to the Africa Rights Talk podcast, a Center for Human Rights podcast series exploring a range of human rights issues through conversations with academics, practitioners, and activists. I am your host, Victoria Amechi. Let's dive in. Welcome to today's episode of Africa Rights Talk. I'm here with Dr. Nana David-Igbo, and we're here to discuss interesting conversations surrounding LGBTI or the promotion of LGBTI rights within Africa, all over the world. So, Dr. David, please introduce yourself.
Thank you very much, Vicky, for having me. I'm David Nana-Igbo. I'm a lawyer by training. Also a filmmaker by training. Presently, I'm doing my postdoctoral fellowship for human rights, and I also work here as a communications and advocacy officer.
Thank you for that short and humble introduction. So the question I would have to ask is, we're celebrating 20 years of same-sex, or legalization of same-sex marriages in South Africa, Belgium, and France. And we celebrated it with a documentary two weeks ago, in South Africa. And then we want to ask you, what do you think are the implications for the celebration of this milestone?
Well, I think firstly, it's very beautiful thing that is happening. It's very welcome that amidst the news of regressions of queer rights across the African continent and the world generally, regression of gender rights and queer rights, we have, landmarks of, progressive queer legal advancements and social advancements that tarry even alongside this. And I wish that such narratives can be pushed alongside the narratives of wars that we hear generally about queer on the continent and the world. We have things are going bad, but there are places where things are also going well. And we have love stories to show that, right? I feel that narratives of marriage, narratives of successful relationships, narratives of places where they are perhaps this is where queer persons is allowed to not just live and love freely, but the legal regimes there also allow for legal protections along issues of perhaps succession and marriage and adoption and property rights and all of that. So because I think these are things that people should perhaps see as a landmark to celebrate. Yeah.
Okay, thank you for that, Dr. David. You and Tepi recently directed and produced a movie, a documentary on this milestone, on celebrating 20 years of the legalization of same-sex relationships and marriages in South Africa, Belgium, and France. And I would love to know more about this documentary. Can you tell us more about it?
Yes, it's a collection of stories, first of all, of persons from the jurisdictions who open up their hearts and their doors and their homes to the general public. And in this documentary, they're very vulnerable about where they have come from, as sort of all individual queer persons and persons who get into the society and who choose to sort of line up same-sex marriage. So it's a documentary that covers both the personal and the public, the social, the political, and the legal. The documentary also tries to engage with archival material because we didn't just learn from the moon, right? We come from a very rich history of agitation and push on a social, political, and legal level. So we try to look back on what are the struggles that we were part of, particularly in South Africa, and what were the resistances that we've experienced and also push and also try to look at where we are now and where we're headed, with a focus on the lives of the same-sex couples that we are subject in this documentary.
Okay, thank you for that. Do you have any challenges, limitations, any concerns you experienced filming this documentary?
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into a film. A film is what you see in the end is just a tip of the iceberg, and on a social level, on a political level, this film is one that's tasked not just me, but everybody who was on the crew, every person who we interviewed as well. Some of the participants had to fly in, leave their jobs, their lives, to fly to Pretoria to be filmed. Some had to fly in from Europe to be filmed. Yeah, and it wasn't really under the best circumstances. Most of us are very much beginner filmmakers who made this documentary. And it's not every day that someone opens their heart to you in the way that these people have. I think the major challenge was getting the people who were comfortable enough in their stories, in their vulnerabilities, in their politicizing their preferences, and allowing that to be center of a larger political movement. I think that I think that each person has brought, each of the sacrifices made by each person, both at level of cast and crew and donor, is labor of love, right? Because we didn't really get, I don't think that anybody, I don't think you can put a commensurate price tag on love stories. I don't think you can put a commensurate price tag on asking people to cross certain social, personal and bridges. For instance, my crew was a mostly heterosexual crew. I'm about to go through, an orientation of, look, this is going to be a place where queer stories should thrive and queer stories should be centered. So it was a learning curve for everybody. Even I remember once when we had to familiarize ourselves with someone's pronoun, right? And we kept saying, the person's not a she, yeah. So it's a thing, yeah. And there's generally lots of love and respect throughout the process, yeah.
Perfect, thank you. I've watched the bits of the documentary and I think it was amazing. It's a very beautiful document. What do you think are the implications of such love stories and such visibility in the advancement of the rights of LGBTI persons in the world?
Love is an incredibly political thing, right? And I think the fact that love stories are visible are in themselves a dismantling tool for hate, for intolerance, for all forms of resources to human rights and equality for all persons. And love stories demonstrate a certain level of cultural citizenship. Love stories that people come to say, look, our lives and our histories can exist alongside those that have been celebrated from time immemorial, right? And if we are very honest with ourselves, the recurrent rhetoric that we get from the extremely Christian angle is God made Adam and Eve, and not Adam and Steve, And this is purely a story. I mean, this is telling us that the stories that exist are there stories that favor heteronormativity. And for these stories of queer persons, queer love stories to be there are themselves a push towards at the center, right? I know that we are very heavy on decoloniality in South Africa and dismantling, but we forget that it will not. We can't fully dismantle, one form of oppression and still favor others, right? You can't speak of racism or tribalism without speaking about homophobia, because nobody's really one thing. I think about the cement of Simon Nkoli, which was a recurring theme in the documentary, where he says, "I'm black and I'm gay, and my struggles cannot be separated into like primary and secondary. No one is more important. The oppressors who want an equal world or equal South Africa need to fight for both. Fight for oppression across the board." I think that's what love stories accomplish for us. Like, it accomplishes a push to what can be seen as normal and acceptable, and something that I think should be embraced, not just at level of viewing public places, but also at level of classrooms, churches, even book clubs. You know, people should be open to such narratives. Yeah.
For that, David, I agree. No one's individuality or identity should be separated as to which is more favorable and which one is less favorable. It's the whole person. And my final question, hopefully, is what are your future prospects for the rights of LGBTI persons or queer persons and their visibility?
I see so much, right? But I know for a fact that the world is changing in so many ways. The world is shifting and evolving. And more than ever, queer narratives are public and accessible. You know, a few years ago, when I was doing my first degree in Nigeria, there was no word for describing how the kind of state of one man feeling romantically drawn to another, or someone of same sex feeling romantically attracted to someone else. But now that word is there. People know what it is, right? And I know this is not a very common perception, but hate in itself is a form of acknowledgement and respect. For you to hate a thing, you confer on it some level of legitimacy and respect. And I think that is one thing that the regression of anti-gay laws have accomplished for us. Right. People are now more than ever talking about, you know, this thing, giving it a name, calling it by its name. And the only way we call things by their name, that's when we can discuss and unpack it. I remember a Nigerian film years ago called Women Affair, Girls Affair, oh, remember? Yes, okay. Where one famous actress, Genevieve, she was being visited by her lesbian girlfriend, right? And one of the other jealous girls on campus came to attack her. I was calling her for some names, abusive names, but she never once called her lesbian, right? And while Jimmy was driving off in the car, Jimmy came out of the window and she was saying, "If you have the mind, say it, say what it is, right? Open it and say it." And the girl wouldn't say Jack, right? I think that moving past that to now, we've seen a huge leap in people know the name of queerness. There are various labels and non-labels that have been embraced, right? The media has done so much, the TV has done so much, films have done so much, and it can only get better in that angle. And I think that people should, we, including myself, should learn to count our blessings amidst the regression. So keep fighting hard for, you know, inclusion and acceptance, but still alongside count our blessings.
Beautiful. Thank you for that, Dave. We've come to the end of this podcast. Bye.
You have just listened to the Africa Rights Talk podcast. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. Do not forget to subscribe to our YouTube channels, social media platforms such as Twitter and Instagram. Thank you for listening.